Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. And if you happen to be listening on the webpage, the recording, or by podcast, well, I hope you're having whatever time of the day you're involved with, whether it's the evening, we're in the car, whatever. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. And first of all, I usually like to start off by giving you a telephone number that you can reach me. Any feedback, 939-333-1010. And Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez is the webpage and also the podcast that you can access recordings of past programs. So, with that information that I'd like to sometimes forget, but I'd like to keep reiterating in case you haven't jotted it down, we'll go ahead. There was an article and on three key ages, Mayo Clinic study, which I found interesting, and I kind of laughed because it's three ages of 43.7, 66.7, and 89.7. I got a kick, first of all, the 0.7. That's like the gasoline prices. They almost invariably end up with a 7/10, price. I don't know. It used to be 9/10, but for some reason, the 7/10 is now the thing that they find works well. I think is to kind of hide the next penny, that we have to pay. 43.7, the age 43.7 is what the Mayo Clinic calls the onset of metabolic destabilization. God, that sounds awful, huh? 66.7, and 43.7, my time when I was more or less there, I remember 39 as being the critical where I started getting worried that I was, in my going into my seniority and leaving midlife kind of thing. And with the increase in expectancy, life expectancy, I think, 43.7 is probably where I would be if I were back then. 66.7, again, I was around 62 when I was kind of reflecting on what was left as I was thinking of, retirement from account of all this. So, you add on those 3 or 4 years of life expectancy that we now have. And then 66.7, as I said, 43.7 is the onset of metabolic destabilization. 66.7 is the most rapid metabolic destabilization process is when it begins, the most rapid one. That's kind of scary, huh? And then it says on 89.7, it says when destabilization reaches a plateau. Well, what does that mean? I think it sounds, positive. Just like when I was, in the mid, rather in the 40s and read articles and books and basically said that people were most content, most satisfied with their life was in the mid-60s. And now, extended to maybe late 60s, early 70s. That 89, we have the plateau for destabilization. Given that I'm 82, sounds good. I think it. I hope I'm interpreting correctly. So that's the Mayo Clinic study of aging on the three key ages that we sort of have to keep in mind. I also kind of, always referring to articles and reflecting on them. And in this particular program, I kind of enjoyed some of them that I copied. I sent them to my computer. I print them. I put them on my mobile phone, something or other to sort of see if they jibe, and there's some synchronism with other things I have in mind. And there were, and these articles kind of went along with things that I have been doing, and so they kind of reaffirm things that that I've been doing, and sort of confirming. And so let me, there are five of them. The first is an article by Vogue on squatting, and it's by Ana Morales, and it basically says that it's the longevity pose, and goes into an explanation of how squatting is so good for our physical. And also, if done correctly with breathing and all, you know, very good for our mental, you know, wellness. I'm just reflecting on it. I have been in part of the yoga, which I do once, at least once a week, sometimes twice, but usually only once a week. I do the yoga, and within that I do the squatting. And when I do it more, the squatting, I do it more is when I'm preparing for snow skiing, because in order to be able to ski, you're up and down with your knees, and all those muscles, the thighs and the knees and all, you know, have to be you know, reinforced for snow skiing. So I have always paid quite a bit of attention to that, and then, of course, in the farm in Calle, as you do harvesting, especially the vegetables and things, you can either bend down, you know, with bend over, let's say, or squat to take care, maintain, or to harvest the different, whether it's recao or eggplant or whatever. And I usually try to squat instead of, and then you do the trails, you know, walk in the trails. So, it's good to see, you know, that squatting is a really important thing. The people in the East, in Asia, and all do that tremendously. They, instead of sitting on a chair, they just squat. And of course, there's different levels. I'm able, thank God, up to now, being able to go all the way down and stay there and go up slowly and all. As I say, it's one of the exercises you really have to do if you're going to be skiing, you know, snow skiing. So that's the first article, and so it's good for you to think about it. Get you know, go little by little, instead of bending over, and it's important. And as we age, you got to start working on yourself from the 40. Before that, the metabolic destabilization starts. Get those muscles and good, because it's one of the things that is a factor in whether you're in relatively good physical health is whether you can get up off the floor, or the ground, and so squatting is part of that process. Okay, the second was an article on, you know, on sleeping and recommendations, and the one that kind of caught my attention was the statement that we should not be having caffeine after 1 p.m., which I found really early. I usually would have thought, you know, 4:30, 5:30, but it says 1 p.m., and that there's a 7% decline in the quality of sleep if you have caffeine after 1 p.m. I gave up caffeine quite a while ago. I found with the same things happen with nicotine, and I sort of worry sometimes with alcohol that these are addictive and that I have a propensity towards addiction, and I gave up completely caffeine. Supposedly, caffeine in this article says so, that it's good for you in the morning. It's been, you know, determined that it's a good thing. I will continue to not have caffeine because as I say, once I have it, I have problems avoiding or, you know, eliminating it if something happens. So anyway, you'd like to have control, and And I think that's addictive, is something that's not good. So that's my particular personal situation. Because I've talked to people that love coffee, and they have really no problem, not having coffee on a given day. Man, I used to get an incredible hangover and headaches, and it happened in a vacation. I got a tremendous headaches and almost like in a hangover. I couldn't get over it for a couple of days, and it finally turned out that I by mistake had purchased decaffeinated coffee and it was just a caffeine withdrawal. I used to be drinking 12, 13 cups of really black coffee and strong coffee. So anyway, that's my take on it personal. But reduce caffeine and coffee, after lunch. Frankly, that's from what it's saying. The third article is I mention often that the church that I go to for Mass puts together a really good bulletin, and it usually has 3 to 5 articles, and some of them are really, really, really good. And this particular one happened to be on Father's Day, the 21st, and it was cited, Karen Hutch, Hutch, as the author, and the title, I'm translating it because it's in Spanish, so bear with me, but the title is The Trap of Believing That Others Are Happier Than You Are, and sort of says that often in our social media, we see these people invariably, not invariably, 95% of the time, toasting with fantastic meals, traveling, in fantastic places, and just having a lot of fun. Few people put moments where they're not having a good time. So you get the impression, that tons of people out there are much happier than you, and some people get depressed by that. And so it's saying, these are the tools, or these are the steps that Karen Hutch is, recommending. First, to be grateful with what you have and who you are and what you've achieved. And gratefulness is with yourself and with other people is one of the greatest values that we can have for our well-being. Number two is to have your own metrics, your own goals, and not let other people tell you what your goals and what your metrics should be. And that's, within the definition that I've always been giving to all of you for happiness, which is, your own personal values, and living your life with your own personal values, with a sense of self-satisfaction and peace. And we'll see how that definition fits so well with these steps. So the one there is to have your own metrics and of success, and that's a key. Have your own values, have your own standards, have your own goals, have your own dreams, and not let somebody else impose it, or looking at somebody else and adopting somebody else's goals and values. Number three is celebrate your own successes, so that taking care of your errors, and we'll talk about that later on with another section of the program. You can't beat yourself up too much. You're going to make errors, and you're not going to always achieve what you want. And you have to handle that, and you also have to celebrate your achievements, and don't downplay them, and make yourself feel good. The fourth is to convert the comparison into that being a an inspiration to make you, and start when you look at somebody else that you think is doing well, doing better, is happier. Instead of comparing and feeling bad, take that as this particular person, it has this particular value that I really want to adopt. Well, instead of beating yourself and being envious and all, have that be an inspiration. I'm gonna work on that value, and this is that person is exercising that value in this kind of way, and I'm even having discussions and making maybe that person a mentor. So instead of envy and comparison and depression, be it an inspiration and a way to learn and to improve. The last one is to and it goes in line with where it starts, you know, to reduce social media, because it tends to be, frankly, to a great extent, superficial, and it leads you, you know, to feel envious and depressed because other people seem to be so much happier and doing so well. So it reduce that, and to increase the meetings with, you know, actual meetings with persons that are well grounded, that are genuine, that are good for you to continue to improve. That person that even can, you know, can be a mentor and all. And of course, we've always talked about the critical element of social and personal relationships and family relationships as being the number one step and attitude and that we can take it for our well-being. So that goes in line with that. And then at the end of the article, it says that true peace is not being happier than others, but rather in not using the lives of others as a measure of our own happiness. That's a really nice statement. Let me see if in Spanish, because I copied this, it's quizás la verdadera paz no está en ser más felices que los demás, sino en dejar de usar la vida de los demás como medida de nuestra propia felicidad. That is so much in line with what I define as happiness. You know, when it's very, very personal, and it's your life, and it's your satisfaction as to how you're leading your life and dealing with mistakes and errors and et cetera, and with a sense of peace. So this statement, you know, is right in line with it. And so, as I said at the beginning of these articles, it's so good to read an article that kind of confirms, reaffirms, you know, where I, and I hope you feel, you know, you're doing things right. So that's the third article, and it's at the Boletín de la Parroquia Nuestra Señora de Belén of the 21st of June. The fourth is an interesting one because it's a quotation from Einstein, who says that el verdadero signo de la inteligencia no es el conocimiento sino la imaginación. So the real sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination, and you know, that facts and figures and can be obtained very, very quickly, but it's what you use and how you work with those to develop, you know, new ideas and creative things and things. So Hector is waving. I'll finish the comment on Einstein and the importance of imagination, more important than knowledge and information. So we'll be right back after the pause. This is Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez.